From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton. Two people escaped serious injury on Saturday afternoon after their float plane crashed during takeoff in the Misty Fjords National Monument Wilderness, according to the U.S. Coast Guard. The crash site, about 40 miles southeast of Ketchikan, is in the same vicinity as last week's sightseeing crash that claimed six lives. Coast Guard Petty Officer Melissa McKenzie says the privately owned Cessna 180 that crashed on Saturday near a public recreation cabin was not a commercial flight. A distress call via satellite phone was received at 2:45 p.m. on Saturday, shortly after the crash, she says, and the party was well prepared for an emergency.
They actually had a personal locator beacon that they were able to set off that basically led our responders to their exact location. And they also had a dry bag that had clothes and food that they took with them to the shore when they swam from the plane.
A Jayhawk helicopter from Coast Guard Air Station Sitka arrived at the U.S. Forest Service cabin they were near. They were transferred to emergency personnel waiting in Ketchikan. It's unclear what went wrong on takeoff. Weather conditions on scene were about 65 degrees with light winds. Visibility was about 10 miles and the cloud ceiling at 5,000 feet. Juneau's Planning Commission will consider updated landslide and avalanche maps at a Tuesday night meeting. The city's current maps were created in the 1970s. If adopted, the new maps will expand known hazard zones to include about half of the structures in the downtown area. The planning department tried to upgrade the maps in the 1990s, but the city assembly did not vote to accept them. Some residents support the new maps as vital public safety tools and urged their speedy adoption in letters to the committee. But others don't agree with the new assessment. John Nemeth is a local business owner who lives in the Highlands neighborhood. The new maps put his property in a severe hazard zone for landslides.
The city just increased our property taxes fairly significantly. And now, you know, this whole remapping for the landslide area inclusion area, in my view, is going to significantly lower our property value.
The city doesn't have information about how insurance rates or property values may change as a result of the new maps if they're adopted. The city's planning commission is tasked with making a recommendation to the Juneau Assembly. It will be up to the assembly after that to approve the maps or not. The U.S. Senate is inching toward passage of a $1 trillion infrastructure bill. It's a top priority of Senator Lisa Murkowski, who helped negotiate it. The bill includes billions of dollars for Alaska's roads, bridges and ferries, plus funds for broadband and water projects in rural communities. The bill has enough Republican votes to pass, but it's not clear how Senator Dan Sullivan will vote. He hasn't announced his position, but in a procedural vote on Saturday, Sullivan voted against advancing the legislation. His spokesman said he favored more debate and opportunities to amend it. But late on Sunday, in another procedural vote, Sullivan was among 18 Republicans who joined Democrats to support the bill. The Senate could pass the infrastructure package early on Tuesday, sending it to the House. There's language in that federal infrastructure bill that could throw a life ring to Alaska's beleaguered ferry system. Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick checked in with the governor's chief of staff, Randy Ruaro, about this potential windfall and for a general update on the executive's plans for the Alaska Marine Highway System.
So Senator Lisa Murkowski is working on steering hundreds of millions of federal dollars to ferry systems. The language in the bill appears to heavily favor the Alaska Marine Highway System. Our question is, what's been the level of coordination from the governor's office with Alaska's delegation on this infrastructure bill?
Well, we've been talking about language changes and other, you know, statutory changes that would help the marine highway system for quite a few weeks now. And, you know, I think there is a very significant amount coming to Alaska for its ferries just by the language in the bill. For example, real quick, if you look at Section 71103, it's ferry service for rural communities, and I think that's a funding for a five-year period, and that's going to, I think, going to produce a very significant amount of funding for Alaska's ferry system. We just don't know exactly how much will come out of that formula yet, but it will be substantial, and so we're already making plans on our end on how to best, you know, get the highest and best use of the funds, you know, for the system.
Okay, and Governor Dunleavy signed House Bill 63 last month, which creates an oversight board for the ferry system. Where are we on appointing members to that board from the executives for when it goes into effect, I think, in October?
We are taking applications now and hope to have, you know, people seated, you know, fairly soon. You know, if I'm aware of folks that that would be interested, I'll be forwarding those names in. But anyone with hopefully some Marine experience can apply. And if someone's interested that's listening, they can contact Courtney Enright in our Anchorage office, and she'll get you an application.
Great. Could you give us an update on the Tustamina replacement? Because in order to harness the federal highway dollars, the money's got to be programmed into the state's formal request to the federal government.
I think the design is very close to being completed for that boat. There's a section in the infrastructure bill that's caught our attention that may have some relevance to that project or not. It's section 71102, which provides funds for an electric or low-emitting ferry program. And so that's a ferry that's built to use alternative fuels. And there's some funding that's tied to that new type of ferry, I guess, in this program. It may be possible to use some of the funds that are appropriated through this program for a low-emissions ferry that could tie into the design of the Tustamina. I'm not 100% sure yet, but we're looking at it.
Okay, that's interesting, because I had thought that request had come more from the Skagway working group looking for kind of a short-range ferry in Upper Lynn Canal. I didn't know that there was proven that electric ferries or even hybrids could do the kind of range out to Southwest Alaska.
Technically, I'm not sure if that type of a ferry would work for a long-range run, but I guess legally within the terms of the infrastructure bill, it looks like, you know, there's nothing that eliminates a long-range ferry from being eligible under the program. So we're still, you know, taking it apart, the language, and then we'll see technically, you know, whether anything fits.
Okay. And the Alaska-class ferries, they've not seen much action, but we read that the crew quarters would be added to the Hubbard, which hasn't been in service yet, but that would extend its range and allow it to do a lot more routes. What's the state's plan for the other ferry built in Ketchikan, the Taslina?
You're correct. The crew quarters will give the Hubbard a lot of flexibility and will get it into service and moving. The Taslina, the other vessel, you know, we're looking at also building some capital projects like Cascade Point that would allow a run from Juneau up Lynn Canal and back and not necessarily need crew quarters for an overnight crew. So we're working with Gold Belt on Cascade Point, and then that ferry, that would be probably the best fit for that ferry.
How far along is that? Because my understanding with that conceptual project, that would only operate in the summer, in the warmer months.
It would be a seasonal terminal, and I'd have to check. I know that Gold Belt's working on the design and the lease offer and some other terms that aren't final yet, but we're hoping that can move along pretty fast.
Randy, I want to thank you for taking the time to speak with Coast Alaska.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick talking ferries with Governor Dunleavy's Chief of Staff, Randy Ruaro. State labor safety officials say they're investigating the death of a Craig man killed at a commercial logging operation in Prince of Wales Island. A statement from the Department of Public Safety says a log being loaded onto a trailer at a commercial logging operation fell off the truck at about 7 a.m. on Thursday in the Rats Bay area, killing 46-year-old Reginald Watt. The statement says Alaska State Troopers, Village Public Safety officers, and U.S. Forest Service personnel responded to the scene. Watt's body was sent to the state medical examiner's office in Anchorage. His next of kin have been notified. The Alaska Labor Standards and Safety Division says it'll be some time before more information is released on the incident. Lots of heavy rain is coming to Southeast Alaska this week. The first of two weather systems has begun moving through the region, bringing heavy rain at times. This will continue through this evening here in Juneau. The next system will arrive sometime before tomorrow morning, with another few inches of rain expected tomorrow. No flooding is expected today or tomorrow, but on Wednesday, an atmospheric river will start to develop, bringing even more heavy rain for the second half of the week. Due to these back-to-back events, the National Weather Service has issued a special weather statement and says to watch for rising water levels. It's currently 60 degrees in Juneau with a short break in the rain.